Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Senior Editor Kelly Davio. It's no secret that biosimilars that treat inflammatory diseases have struggled to gain ground in the United States, with few products launched relative to those approved, low uptake of the products that are available, and formulary restrictions that sometimes favor branded biologics over biosimilar options. But given the benefits that biosimilars can provide, some doctors are taking matters into their own hands with concerted efforts to bring these products to the clinic. This week on the podcast, we're speaking with Dr. Colin Edgerton. He's one of the founding members of the rheumatology practice Articularis Health Group. The group recently created a value-based rheumatoid arthritis treatment pathway that has boosted biosimilar use. Dr. Edgerton joined us to discuss the pathway and lessons learned in bringing biosimilars to patients. Dr. Edgerton, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Not So Different.
Thank you for having me.
Can you start by telling our listeners a bit more about your value-based RA pathway and why you saw the need to develop it?
Sure, Kelly, I'd be happy to do that. So I'm a practicing rheumatologist in Charleston, South Carolina, and one of the founding members of the Articularis Health Group, which is a supergroup of 40 rheumatology providers across Georgia and South Carolina. And we designed the rheumatoid arthritis treatment pathway as a decision support tool for physicians and rheumatology professionals to help them adhere to the ACR, American College of Rheumatology, rheumatoid arthritis treatment guidelines. The pathway is integrated into our electronic health record, so no additional clicks are required. And it seamlessly works during a routine office visit, ensuring the highest standard of care for the patient. And in addition, the pathway provides significant savings through altered medication use and other medical costs. And this is of great value to rheumatologists and collaborating with payers on value-based contracts.
And as part of implementing this pathway, you were able to overcome a previous payer restriction on biosimilars. What can you tell us about how you negotiated to have biosimilars as first-line treatment for RA?
Well, these negotiations were really exciting. So during the process of discussion with the payer, we developed a very collaborative relationship, and we were really able to serve as an educational resource on rheumatology treatment, specifically going over concepts like how we measure disease activity and how we make our medication choices. So this gave us an opportunity to review the perspective we have as rheumatologists on biosimilars with the payer. And we reiterated that biosimilars have a real potential to reduce costs in a functioning market. We were able to review the ACR white paper on biosimilars and the ACR position statements with the payer, which really clarify the desire rheumatologists have to use biosimilars. And because the pathway as it was structured already proved significant savings to the payer was open to working with us on altering the standard formulary to allow that first-line access to biosimilars.
And did you encounter any resistance with the payer initially with respect to bringing biosimilars on board? I mean, we're often hearing that payers may not be eager to bring biosimilars on if they already have some contractual agreements with innovator biologic sponsors.
Yes, we did. And I would say, as you've highlighted, those elements of reticence were seemingly around contracts. The nice thing about being innovative with the payer is that we're already talking about doing new things. So treatment pathway, which is value-based and which brings with it alternative forms of payment, is really out-of-the-box thinking. So we were talking with the right people in the payer environment who were willing to think outside of the box when it came to some of the agreements they had as well. And once we were able, again, to solidify our position that adoption of biosimilars is about bringing down costs and improving access for patients, we were really talking their language, and I think arming them in a sense to turn around and deal with these other entities, which with a contract, and start talking about biosimilars with those entities as well.
So what cost savings are you seeing so far, or do you anticipate seeing from using biosimilars instead of going to the subcutaneously administered molecules for RA?
Well, biosimilars cost less than the originator medications, period. There's no question about it. And one of the benefits of forming our own specialty-specific group purchasing organization as part of the Articularis Rheumatology Network is that our affiliated practices have access to the transparency around drug pricing. We are 100% committed to using lower-cost agents when clinically appropriate, because we know that reduces the costs to the system overall, and that's going to improve patient access. The other interesting thing that we've seen is because of the competition introduced by the biosimilars, there's a real incentive now for the manufacturers to keep provider margins whole despite overall reductions in drug price. So this has really started to remove the misaligned incentives that exist in the system that tend to buoy up drug prices in order to allow everyone in the middle to take a profit margin. And it's exciting to see that coming to an end with biosimilars.
And let's talk a bit about patients too, because of course they are stakeholders here as well. What kind of benefits are patients seeing from having biosimilars on the formulary, and what has been the patient reaction to biosimilars so far?
So we have seen the majority of our existing patients and new patients move to biosimilar agents when available. The patients are open to biosimilars when the provider is educated on how to discuss biosimilars. And the provider's comfort with biosimilars has a lot to do with discussions with their peers. So one of the unique aspects of our practice has been having the providers sit down together and discuss biosimilar use, looking at individual prescribing patterns and talking about experiences. And once the providers are comfortable with how their peers approach biosimilars and moving to biosimilars, those discussions with patients go very smoothly. The patients are very open to biosimilars. We've seen little hesitancy around the medication changing, either from an originator to a biosimilar, or starting a biosimilar de novo instead of an originator product.
Have you seen any patient concerns with a change to the route of administration with a switch to a biosimilar, say going from a subcutaneous product like adalimumab to an intravenously infused product like biosimilar infliximab?
We have not in general. There are individual patients who have circumstances which would guide them toward one route of administration or another. I do think that there's an underappreciation for patient receptivity to the infusion mode of medication administration. With the difficulties patients have obtaining these medications, either communicating with a specialty pharmacy or navigating prior authorization, there's a lot of angst on the patient side thinking about when they're going to get their next shipment of a self-administered medication. And it's not something we do a good job of as providers discussing with them. But when you're aware of that and you start asking patients, you realize that some people really are waiting on tenterhooks for that next shipment, hoping it arrives in time or hoping that there's not a prior authorization that needs to be done that blocks them from access. And a lot of those blockades just don't exist on the infusion side, where everything's taken care of for a patient. They know that they've got a professional staff that's acquiring their medication, scheduling with them, and they pop into the office and receive it and leave and don't have to think about it. So I've found that that's one really important thing to discuss with patients and make providers aware of, that intravenous route of administration has a lot of benefits for the right patient.
That's a really interesting point that you raise about the complexities of sometimes just getting a hold of your therapies. Continuing on the theme of patients, what have you been hearing so far from patients about the patient support programs that are available to them with biosimilars versus maybe what they're used to with the innovator products?
We haven't heard anything differentiating the patient support programs. As we know, the biosimilar manufacturers are well established in the pharmaceutical manufacturing space and have experience with patient support. So we really haven't seen any differences or any comments from patients around patient support either way.
Also very interesting to hear. So lastly, your organization also sponsors the Articularis Rheumatology Network, which offers things like a group purchasing organization and the free use of your value-based pathway to other practices. So for the rheumatologists who are listening who want to take advantage of these offerings, can you tell us a little bit more about how they can get involved?
I'd be really excited to tell you about that. We grew as a single specialty rheumatology group called the Articularis Health Group, here initially in South Carolina, then into Georgia, by bringing together rheumatology practices and starting to share best practices, management teams, and volume-based purchasing. And we realized that the individual practices did so much better when they were able to share services. So we created the Articularis Rheumatology Network with that concept of helping community rheumatology practices thrive. And so we offer many of the services that we have internally within our large group, and that includes group purchasing of medications to bring together rheumatologists and derive the best pricing, as well as sharing best practices, but allowing every rheumatology practice to remain independent and to thrive in its particular marketplace. So rheumatologists who would benefit from that can contact us through our website, arngpo.com, and take a look at those services and see if that's something they're interested in.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Not So Different. For links to the Articularis Rheumatology Network, visit our show notes. As always, if you like the show, please take a moment to rate us at iTunes. Until next time, find us at centerforbiosimilars.com.